At this time, we want to share our appreciation with Teen Challenge for making the trip up here from the Valley, and we'll turn the service over to them now.
Hello, how you guys doing today? Awesome, praise God. I want to say thank you from our pastor, Reverend Rick Casto. Couldn't make it today, he's on vacation as well. So I'll be representing the Public Relations Office and Teen Challenge in general. Has everybody heard about Teen Challenge before? Everybody in here, right? So the commercial is, you know, we have five centers in the state of Arizona. One we have from Tucson. Induction Center, where you would stay for 4 months. The Phoenix Induction Center, where you would stay for another 4 months. You can go, that's the first phase of the program. Us at the Christian Life Ranch, we're the training phase, the second part of the program, where you would stay for 7 months. After that, you would go back to either Phoenix or Tucson, where you started. We also have the Home of Hope, which is 18 and up, able to hold, women with children. It's the only one Teen Challenge in America that able to have their children to come and live with them. Praise God. Bible says to train up the child when it's young, and it will not depart from that way. Amen?
Amen.
And so then we have the Springboard Home for the Youth in Crisis, which is 12 to 17 years old, which is able to train that child or that young adult to in the ways of the Lord. Amen. And so that's our five centers. And just want to welcome my guys here. Amen. Bunch of awesome, mighty men of God. You know, and so we want to sing our first song, and then we'll go with the testimonies from there. Amen.
Stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure, carry the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do? His heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll walk upon salvation, your Spirit alive in me, my life to declare your promise. My soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all I am is yours. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll send my soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll send my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll send my soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. All I am is yours. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to
what you guys have been wanting to hear is from the guys, and that's awesome. I've come to have a relationship with every single one of them. You know, some of them are a little rough at the start, you know. They're coming in, and iron sharpens iron. So does another brother sharpen his iron, amen? I'll sharpen his brother. And it's awesome that we can build relationship. You know, I come to know these brothers not just as students, but as friends, and most of all, like a family. You know, we come and we have our struggles at Teen Challenge, but this part of the service, you know, some of these guys get a little iffy and increases their prayer life because I never tell them, or we never tell them who we're going to pick, you know, and so it's awesome. And so they all come from different programs and different facilities and different families, so it's awesome to see how God is increasing their restoration with their family, you know, and I see it. At Teen Challenge, we see it every single day. You know, God's miracles, and sometimes the student resists, you know, and is able to choose to leave the program, you know, too soon, you know. But these guys are able to withstand, and I believe that they're going to be productive citizens and pastors and evangelists, apostles. Amen? Amen. And so I like to call Brett. For testimony and just share your heart, you know, what God has done in your life since you've been in the program.
All right.
You know?
My name's Brent. I'm 19 years old.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, my name's Brent. I'm 19 years old. I'm actually the youngest in the Phoenix and Tucson centers. I've been in the program about 7 months now. I grew up in Washington State. I had like a really great family growing up, Christian home. They went to church every Sunday, you know, but everybody else around me, all the people I hung out with, you know, they had no rules in their life. Their parents, it was just a rough area. So I kind of started thinking, you know, it's unfair that my family was giving me these rules and stuff. So, what I did was I started like hanging out with, people who were just like, using marijuana and stuff like that at a young age. Like, I started smoking weed at the age of 13, and then I actually was living with some family members who were selling drugs as well. I moved out of my house at a young age. I started selling drugs with them. And then, some tragic things happened in that family, and it kind of broke me down. I started using cocaine when I was about 15, and it became like, you know, the most amazing. I felt so much power in it. I totally turned away from God, didn't want anything to do with him. After the tragedy had happened, I came to my parents again, and I was like, you know what, we got to get out of here. You know, I'm just in a really rough spot. And some other things been going on in the family. So they said, all right, we'll move out to Arizona. So when I turned 16, we moved out to Arizona. And then I was good for a little bit, you know, but I was not focused on God or anything. I was kind of just focused on myself. So I was clean for maybe a semester. And then it got even worse. It hit me a lot harder here even. I got back into the same stuff. I've chose the same crowd of people, you know. It's all I really knew. Then when it was about my senior year, it got so bad where, you know, I didn't want to die, but I didn't really know how to live anymore without drugs. And it was like I got fired from every job I ever tried to get, couldn't get money. My parents didn't have any trust in me anymore. So one day at school, you know, I tried committing suicide, and they sent me to Aurora Behavioral Health Clinic. So I went there, you know, for like 2 or 3 weeks and just kind of got clean again, got my head straight. That's what I thought, you know, but again, you know, I was living for myself. I didn't care about anything else. So as soon as I got out, you know, I actually did, you know, graduate high school, thankfully. But as soon as I graduated, you know, I didn't have any plan. I just kind of moved in with some people I should not have moved in with. And things got even worse, you know, very, very bad for me. Or I ended up actually getting evicted from that apartment. I had nowhere to go, so I was living on the streets for just a couple days, you know, and then it was so bad where I was like, okay, I came back to my parents, and they said, you know, you've broken every trust we have, you know, either you're going to go get long-term help or, you know, we're done with you. And so I'm sitting here, you know, thinking this is crazy right now. They said, we have a program, it's called Teen Challenge, it's 13 months long, and I was like, no way I'm doing 13 months, you know, that is so crazy. But I went to the open house, and then it was like, you know, I felt something I hadn't felt in a long time, and it was love, you know, from these people there. They were all so excited about me coming in and trying to change my life. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to give this a shot. And it has not been, you know, easy, but God has been there every second, and he's broken me down, and he's built me back up even stronger. He's taken, you know, things that I never thought I could give up, that was deep inside my heart. And he said, you know, you can give that to me and I'll take care of that. And I was able to give that up to him. And, you know, there has been times when I've gotten so down here and just missed my family because they don't live here. They live in Oregon now. And I just wanted to give up, you know, but then, I'll have my mindset like, okay, I think I'm good. I'm ready to go. And then, you know, something crazy will happen, and God will speak to me in some crazy way. And I'll be like, okay, yeah, no, I need to stay here. And it's been such a blessing, really, to be at this program. And my family's proud of me now. 7 months clean, just longest I've been clean since I was 13. It's just a blessing. So really appreciate you guys letting us come here today and speak to you. It just helps us so much, your guys' support, and just really changes lives. So thank you guys so much.
Hey, Brent. So being at the Christian Life Ranch, what is the most important thing that you have learned at the ranch?
Well, the ranch is more of like a training phase, so you really get a big taste of like the real world versus like induction, where you're just in a little bubble. So I've noticed, like, I have to stay in the Word there and stay connected to God, or it'll be so quick that, like, I get caught up in, like, the world's mess again, you know? So.
Yeah. And what's your favorite verse, if you don't mind me asking?
My favorite verse of right now is Numbers 32:23. It's, but if you fail to do this, you'll be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sins will always find you out. Because, you know, no matter what I do now, it's like, hey, if I mess up, you know, someone finds out about it, and then it's just not even worth it anymore. So
awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. So that's pretty awesome, man. I love quoting scripture, so I, you know, what I mean, I want to say, hey, man, you give your testimony today? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I
can do that. Good morning, church. My name is Shelby. I actually grew up in a pretty strong faith home, good Christian home. I actually didn't fall off my so-called wagon until I was about probably 18. A bull riding accident ended me up on prescription painkillers. I'm actually from Utah. I flew out here on Christmas Eve, woke up here on Christmas. So it was a pretty big change for me, just the city and just the culture shock of everything, and then having to deal with everything else too in my life. And I really just know that I needed my faith renewed, and it was just that time for me too. God was just speaking to me and bringing me here. So once I got to induction, I struggled a little bit just with the volume of people and just the center itself, just in the inner city right there on Grand Avenue. I seen more there in my life than I've seen in Utah my whole life, for sure. I felt a lot of love there, though, from the brothers. I get so much breakthrough and friendship just from these guys behind me, too. You know, the Lord just puts these people in my life that just help me just keep continuing. But pretty much I was addicted to painkillers for about 4 years. I'm a father. I have a family back home. Basically, I struggled through induction, like I said, until I finally I was reading 1 Peter one day, and just the submitting to all authority just kind of hit me. And ever since then, I really would like to say I strived in the program. Once I got up to the Christian Life Ranch, like Brent kind of said, you get a real taste of the real world. And up at the ranch, my life has kind of changed again. I feel like my faith's totally been restored and renewed by God. I wake up every morning and just ask Him to just overwhelm me and just overfill me with the Spirit. Just every morning, I just wake up and I just ask Him to just let me receive the Spirit. And you know, if I fall out of my word or anything like that, or even just decide maybe I should skip it a little bit, or my whole day's thrown off, you know. So I know that I can't do it without God. I don't think I ever want to do it again. I know I don't ever want to do it again without God. God is so great. And I think about everything that I've accomplished, you know. Even I never thought I was going to stay here. I was like, oh man, what did I get myself into coming out here on, like, waking up on Christmas and just seeing everything. And I was just like, I just prayed every day, literally. I just asked God to just take it all from me. I just submitted everything to Him. I just gave it all to Him. And for the longest time, I was afraid to ask Him for miracles. But, you know, I asked Him. I asked Him for a miracle. I asked Him to just take everything from me. Just let me continue, you know. Let me fix this problem in my life. You know, I feel like I've been anointed in life to be a father. You know, that's the greatest greatest thing I've ever gotten to be, as a father. And so I don't ever want to lose that. And, you know, God is going to bless me with that the rest of my life, as long as I stand firm in my faith with Him and just continue what I'm doing in my word.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, and you, man, you know, what's your favorite verse, or what are you working on? Because at Teen Challenge, we have a curriculum that they have class, you know, despite of we tell them to go door to door. We're a nonprofit organization, so we don't get no help from the government or nothing, because we don't believe and 12 steps. We believe in one step, and that's Jesus Christ. They have taken Jesus out of the school, taken God out of the school, yeah. And so we don't get no help from nobody. And so we have curriculums of training these mighty men of God on the ways of the Lord. And so we have different character qualities, such as faithfulness and forgiveness. And so what is the one you're working on right now?
Well, you know, I just finished. I really like 1 and 2 Peter, but right now I just went through Ephesians, but I really like 6:11 about stand firm in your faith and put the armor of God on to avoid all schemes of the devil. I really like the armor of God, and you know, He tells me that, I mean, I think that He tells me, you know, no one's really an addict. Once you're an addict, you're always an addict. I think we have these addictive tendencies that can be healed by Christ, you know.
Absolutely.
Completely. So I have complete faith and trust in my word and His word. So
awesome.
Thanks, James.
We got one more song and then probably another testimony. All right? Awesome.
far my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awesome wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. The Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Then we got one more tip. This is Jesse. He's actually on the public relations office. He works alongside Wayne, who couldn't be here today. So he can tell you also little stuff that's going on in Teen Challenge about maybe the run, yeah. Maybe, and okay. Then just a little bit about what God is doing in your life, man.
Okay. Well, like you said, my name's Jesse. I'm 23 years old. I've been in Teen Challenge for 9 months. Transformation that has happened with me is it's hard for me to believe sometimes. It's crazy what God has taken me out of and how I got into Teen Challenge. At the age of 14, I started drinking and smoking marijuana real heavy. I thought I fell in love. My parents split up at the age of 12, and my father was real, real, real abusive. My mother was scared to even come around us kids because he was always there, you know, so she left. I distanced myself from my family. I didn't want to talk to nobody. So that's what I was trying to fill a void. I was just trying to fill a void, and I felt empty. I had no desire to live in this world. I saw no good out of it because all I saw was bad, you know. So at the age of 14, I started drinking and smoking marijuana, and eventually I got to cocaine, ecstasy, and pain pills. And none of that was enough. Nothing was ever enough, so I thought I'd go further. And with the heroin, I turned into an IV user. And the moment I put that needle in my arm, I was just like, this is what I've been looking for. That's what I thought at the time. About a year after using heroin, I got tired of it, so I moved on to meth. And meth destroyed me in every possible way, as if I already wasn't destroyed. It drove me to wind up on the streets because I didn't know what was going on around me or who to trust. I was very ashamed of myself. I saw nothing good at all. There was nothing. So while I was out on the streets, I didn't want nobody to see me. I was constantly hiding. I was hiding from myself. I was hiding from the world. I just felt something tugging my heart the entire time, though. And there were situations that I was brought out of. I didn't understand how I was brought out of them one single bit. So there's somebody I met out there. He was walking across from the Dream Center. And he ministered to me, planted that seed. made me realize that I do have something in this world. So I went to a shelter, talked to my mom. She got me help. I just, something was tugging in my heart, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And like this entire time, I kind of believed in God, but I didn't, because I didn't like the idea of Him. Something so much bigger than us, just so big that I couldn't understand. So, I've known of Teen Challenge since I was 18, so it's always been there. My family's always been trying to get me into it. My mom, my family cut me off just waiting for me to hit rock bottom because they knew that was the only thing that was going to work for them to completely cut ties and me to want to something to change. So they got me a Teen Challenge. And since I've been in the program, God's changed my way of thinking, my perspective on the world. Recently, I just got to go to the Elevate concert and do some ministry there. And that was, it was huge. I had a little boy. He was like 7 years old, maybe 8. I told him my testimony, and he was just like, I'm really inspired by you. And that affected me a lot and realized what I can do in this world and what God has brought me out of, how I can help other people, whether they're a little kid or an adult, you know. So I thank God each and every day. Sometimes I forget where I came from, you know, but God reminds me. I know that I can't go on without Him. And thank you guys for having us here. Yeah. So we got this run coming up September 9th.
Yeah.
September 9th. Was a Foster who just graduated the program. He's up at the third phase right now back in Phoenix. He put this together. He's a triathlon runner, does marathons. So he put this together as part of our ministry. It's in Peoria. It's a 3K, 5K, and a half marathon run. So if anybody wants to talk to me about that, that'd be great. We do have flyers out there. There's a website. Anybody wants to sign up.
So. Yeah, it's also just one of the ways that we can fundraise and do a outreach too as well. Okay? Awesome. Thank you. We also probably already sold out, amen. I heard that we only have 2 crosses left. You know, just as Jesse was talking about his testimony, you know, of how he was broken. His family was not believing that he was going to probably able to make it, you know. These crosses at first were made out of old beat up dressers and nightstands and things that, in the home that were, you know, I mean, you pull them out and the handle falls apart and then they throw them away. Well, that's what this wood used to be like, you know. It used to be a form of brokenness. It was going to get thrown to the fire and then turn into ash, but God had a different plan for that piece of wood, you know, a different plan for our lives. You know, it was made by the students, and some of them make them all day long, you know, and so that's one of their jobs is to make these. And, you know, we add a little bit of finish to it and some barbed wire, and it makes something magnificent like this. That's what God creates in us is new lives so that we can give Him glory. Amen. But we want to give this to old pastor right here. Amen. And then Jesse was also talking about, you know, how he inspired another person at Elevate, right? The Bible says that he who refreshes others will he himself be refreshing. You know, I believe that the guys here at the Teen Challenge, they just gave their testimonies, you know, and they poured their heart out, and they didn't just minister to you guys, but they themselves got ministered to because they're just pouring back into them and refreshing themselves on a daily basis at Teen Challenge. They edify and build up one another because they're not in this world alone, nor in this war alone, you know. But I got a little sermon for the guys today, and God was really pulling at my heart at Isaiah chapter 55 while we were sitting there. And I'm going to start off at verse 5. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you will not run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return without watering the earth, and make it bare and sprout, and furnishing the seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I have sent it. Ain't that awesome? That God's word does not come back to him void, but it accomplishes that why he was sent. Each and every one of my brothers here has a call on their life. Jeremiah 29:11 says that he has a plan and a purpose and a hope and a future for each and every one of their lives. And so, you know, I mean, he has a plan. And whether it is struggle, but in the Bible says in Hebrews that discipline in the long run is painful and it hurts. But in the long run, it builds fruits of righteousness. Amen. And so how do we respond to that? You know, to all these testimonies, you know, I want to read a section of scripture again. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 11. But let's pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your word. Your word does not come back void, but it accomplishes that why it was sent. Father, help us to respond, Father, to your word, Lord God, in a way that, Father, that we would not leave the same way that we came in, Father. May we, Father, be open to what you have for us today, Father. Give us a heart of expectation, Father, for your word that was prepared, Lord God. And Father, we just, really, it's not really what you could do for us, Father, but what can we do for you to enhance and to advance the kingdom of God in our community, Father? We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel 17:4-11 says, then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistine named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed about 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and bronze javelin slung from his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed about 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, said to him, why do you come out to draw up in a battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself. Let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then he will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us. Again, the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that will fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these final words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afeared. Ever wonder why two people can hear the same thing yet have two different responses? For one, what is said makes them afraid, fear, and discouraged. In Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, verse 37, David said to Saul, let no heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and he will fight this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are nothing but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb from the flock. I went out after him, attacked him, rescued it from his mouth, and when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will surely deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, may the Lord be with you. Man, that's awesome how David responded rather than, you know, I mean, he responded to the situation rather than responded in fear or in discouragement. He responded in, man, this battle is mine. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. For the other, his heart was so filled with faith that he dared to come against the devil because what he was doing was better than what devil had for him. You know what I mean? And so he was a weapon. He was a light. He was a tool. He was an instrument for God. Man, the Bible says in Daniel, the Bible says in Daniel that those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars in heaven. You know, I'm shining up here with these bright lights. It's just, man, but anyways. But David, he was a weapon. He was a weapon of war. He was a weapon of, and what he was, his weapon was his mouth. You know, he was a weapon because the Bible says in 6:27, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust and do not go on presenting the members of your body as sin, as instruments, quote unquote, a weapon of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instrument, weapons of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace, may it never be. Do you not know that you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience? You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you become obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. In the Greek, the word instrument is hopalon. Hopalon is a utensil, a tool, especially an offensive tool for war, an armor, instrument, a weapon. The weapons were created by man. They were created to enable an army to be successful in a war against their enemies. When in battle, we need to have something at our disposal that allows us to go from a defensive position when we are attacked to an offensive position and come out of the battle victorious. Weapons of warfare are the instruments we use to defeat an enemy that is literally hell-bent on destroying us. The weapons of our warfare in a spiritual battle are not man-made. They are spiritual weapons. They are more powerful, more effective than any weapon man-made by man. No man-made weapon is or can be effective against a spiritual army. What kind of weapon are you today? Are you a weapon of destruction? Are you a weapon of anger? Are you a weapon of lying, gossip, pride? Are you a weapon of unhappiness? Are you a weapon of speaking death upon people? The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the heart is deceitful above all things. Or are you a weapon of light, a weapon of joy, a weapon of truth, a weapon of integrity, a weapon of righteousness, a weapon of speaking life, building up your husband, building up your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, your son, or your daughter? What kind of weapon are we representing today? You know, I love this saying, this quote, and it's, you know, I'd rather be a thermostat rather than a thermometer. Thermometer just checks the temperature, you know, and then a thermostat, you know, changes the atmosphere. You know, I believe that I'm a thermostat. I can walk into a place and totally change the atmosphere of this place. I love walking into, like, for instance, Circle K and seeing Beth and saying, "Hey, Beth, how you doing?" as I walk in. "Hey, how you doing?" But we really don't understand what Beth is really going through behind that counter. That counter. She could be wanting to hurt herself. She might be getting beat on a daily basis by her husband. You know, she might not have words of edification spoken to her. You know, we don't know. As a community, we are supposed to lift her up. As a body of Christ and people and men and women and children of God, we're supposed to grab her arm and say everything is going to be okay. Let our light shine. That's our weapon. Is let our light shine. She said, "Why are you so happy coming into Circle K every day? Why are you the way that you are?" It gives an opportunity to spread the gospel. Gives an opportunity to say, "Hey, what are you going through? Are you okay? Can I pray with you?" Bible says, "Be not ashamed of the gospel. For if you are ashamed of Jesus, he'll be ashamed of you on the day of judgment. He'll be ashamed of you. He'll turn his back on you." But the only way that he doesn't turn his back is that if we confess with Jesus, with our mouth, that Jesus is Lord and our Savior, we shall be saved. What? He will never leave us unforsaken. You know? But as Christians, we have a duty to let our light shine. I just quoted Daniel chapter 12, and it says, you know that. Those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars in heaven. Man, who wouldn't want to shine like the stars in heaven? Who wouldn't want to shine like Jesus? Because every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, it says in James. Amen? Man, it's awesome how we can just change the atmosphere wherever we go. We can respond in a situation where it could be bad, and we can just change the atmosphere by changing it to be good. Because the Bible says, "Know me that all things work together for good for those who love you, who love him, and who are called according to his purpose." Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Ain't that awesome? Man, we can go in and we can have something going on in our life. Despite of what's going on, we can change our attitude. The Bible says in Job that he lost his wife, he lost his house, he lost his daughter, he lost his sheep, he lost everything that he owned. But in Job, it says that he changed his sad face into a smile face. He didn't look at what he was going through. He looked at, man, let's look at God. He kept his eyes on the author and the finisher of his faith. And look what happened at the end. You know, the way that we start something is the way that we finish something. So if we're going to finish it angry or grumpy, we're going to be angry or grumpy throughout the whole thing. But if we finish it, if we're started and we're happy, and we're happy and we're joyful, hey, all things are going to work together. We confess with our mouth, hey, it's going to be awesome. It's going to, the latter is going to be better than the greater. You know, we at Teen Challenge, we've been reading these books, Edward Lewis Cole, and it says, you know, the way that you start something is the way that you finish something. Man, I love that quote. You know, we have another program, part of Teen Challenge, and it's called the Restoration Program. The guys go through the program, the whole 13-month program, and they get what they get out of it, you know. But what happens if they didn't get what they got out of it? That they weren't fully submitting, or they weren't fully seeking God, and they weren't fully doing what they're supposed to with Teen Challenge, and they graduated and they escaped under the radar, you know, and they fail. You know, Bible says, who can pluck us out of his hand? Nobody. Who can separate us from the love of God? Nobody. Not trial, not temptation, not peril. Nothing can separate us from the love of God.
you know, that us as believers and as leaders, we're supposed to restore gently, right? Well, we have a program called Restoration, which is 6 months. Well, I went through that program 2 years ago. I committed idolatry on my wife. I fell into various things, and man, I cried out. I was broken. I had my own business, you know, and pastors kept on calling me and said I had a call on my life. I just, you know what I mean, I ignored that call, ignored things until, man, one day I knew what I was doing. I knew it was wrong. Conviction set in. I called that pastor and said, hey, what do I do? Hey, we got a bus ticket waiting for you. There's a bed waiting for you. You need to go to Tucson. So I went to Tucson, and I started my restoration program. And with that, you know what I mean, I don't want to talk about hell, but I want to brag about heaven. Yeah. You know, my wife, my ex-wife, is not coming back. Hey, that's consequences. All things work together for good. We have a better relationship now than we ever had in our life. You know, I see my kids. I have a home at the Christian Life Ranch. I see my kids. I see my kids, and they're just, you know, I see them once a week, three times, Monday through Saturday. Love on them. They come where they want to. They run out in the desert, because we live in the desert. Amen. They catch snakes and tarantulas and so on and so on. But all things work together for good, because I knew that something else was better. I knew that God had something better for my life. You know? By next week, I'll become an ordained pastor. You know? If I change my attitude, if I change the way that I was living, if I change what the enemy had for evil, if I change it for good, ain't nothing gonna stand in my way. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, we are the only program in the United States of America that lives by grace. It's by grace that we are saved, and grace alone. Amen? This is it. You're saved by grace. The other programs, we are all law-based. You know what I mean? So it's like you get a write-up and you lose your phone call and you lose your house. Not your house, but your pass. And you lose certain privileges at Team Challenge, you know? But here, everything starts from the heart. There's a motive by what we there's a motive that we have. How can I say it? There's a motive which started, you know what I mean, in our past that made us act the way that we acted. You know, and so we live by grace, and so we believe that everything comes from the heart. So we search the heart, we soul search, and we learn. That's how we become. We let the guys hang themselves with their own rope. You know? We're not their enabler. We don't tell them to do what they want to do. You know, we just say, hey, this is the structure. You shave. You wake up at this time. You want to read the Bible, you read the Bible. We can't force nobody as believers to read the Bible. But we set a time that they read the Bible. You know, they have to obey their authority. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey those who watch over you, and let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And so we teach them obedience is better than sacrifice in the heat of fat and rats. Amen? But just to close with this, man, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those, and that what you speak of, that's what you're going to eat of. Man, today I encourage you and I challenge you to edify just one person today. You know, I have a saying that I live by, and it's my soul quota is one a day. If I tell one person and lead one person to Jesus once a day, that's 365 souls a year. You know, ain't that amazing? That's 300. And don't be ashamed. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to say, but God will speak for you. He spoke for Moses, and he had a stuttering problem. You know, he spoke to David. David was a small guy. You know? But David was obedient. All he had to do was be obedient. Change. You could change your school. You could change your community. You can change your workplace. Just be a light. Be a weapon of light. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Isn't that a beautiful program? If you, yeah. Oh, are you going to clap or not? Come on. Do it. If you take your Bible and you open it up to the beginning of the New Testament, you look at these four books we call the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see the stories of a man named Jesus who went and rounded up people, 12 of them, that had some significant problems, these 12 guys. They had some bad attitudes. You know, Matthew was a tax collector. Everybody hated him. Peter was a hothead, right? Thomas didn't know what to believe. He doubted everything. And he took those guys and he taught them. He broke them down. He called them names. He told them they were stupid. He said, for crying out loud, I'm right here in front of you and you still don't understand what's wrong with you. But at the end of it, when they all got it together, all they did was what? Change the world, right? You guys can change the world. You guys have changed the world. Because anytime you take a negative and make it into a positive, you make the world a better place. Because there's a lot of negative out there, not nearly enough positive. So anytime we move the balance, it makes the world a better place. So what a great program, and what an amazing thing to do. It's just the purest, simplest form of the gospel right there. It changes lives if it's put out there and done so with love. So I thank you for that, and I appreciate that so much. We love having you guys here. What is this, the fourth time, I think? It's the fourth time in 5 years that I've been here, and it's just wonderful. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. So they've got a display out in the lobby. I don't know what's left out there, but stop by and see it. Just love on these guys when we're done here, okay? Let them know how much you appreciate this. Remember that next week, I'm not here. Don's not here. I don't know, Alan, you going to be here?
Yeah.
Okay, Alan will be here. What's the one thing we always say about this church? It's the most loving church I've ever been associated with. So next week, when the cats are away, please don't let the mice play. Come back here and be the most loving church we've ever been associated with for our friends from Colorado, and just have a great time worshiping and loving on each other as a family. Amen? Why don't you stand up? Let's have a word of prayer and let's be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for these guys. Thank you so much for Teen Challenge. Thank you so much for the willingness to take what we would call broken things and make them whole through you, Father, through your grace and through your love, through your spirit and through your power. Father, help each of us to realize that we're all a little bit broken. We all need you so very much. And that, God, that every day would be a day of surrender and a day of victory. We surrender ourselves and that we would have victory in you, God. Thank you for that possibility. And thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thank you.